And we're live here at the Station of Decapitation Without Your Head. I'm Nasty Neil, and I'm joined by Rakefit Abergill, filmmaker, actor, and all-around cool person. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming. Yes. I think you're moving up, and I think Michael Epstein might have the record for most appearances, but I think you're moving up there.
Oh, good. I got it. We can't let Michael have that.
Yeah, that's always a good motto. We can't let Michael win.
Can't let Michael have that. No.
Sick.
Yes.
So you have a short film coming up still, if you want to give people an idea of what it is about. And we'll play some videos later on.
Yes, sure. Okay, so I don't have my pitch down for this. Oh, yeah, yeah. Still is a short film based around, I had a miscarriage a couple of years ago. We can start with that. And obviously it was a very tragic, hard time, and I decided to write about it, and that's where Still came from. Still is about a woman who has a miraculous discovery of a baby in a forest, and she decides to start kind of mothering the baby. And then one day the baby disappears and everyone says things to her like, you know, don't worry about it. It's really common and you can always try again. And, you know, all the well-meaning things that people might say to somebody who lost a pregnancy. But they sound a little absurd when you're talking about an actual child that has been born and is alive. And the whole idea behind it, and then it triggers her memory of what had actually happened to her, which was a very tragic thing. So it's very sad. It's a little horrific, of course, because that's what I do. And it's basically, I wanted to write it to show people what it feels like to be in that position. And yeah. A little all over the place. I've been running this campaign for 6 days and I feel like I'm on another planet. But yes, that's the basic idea.
Yeah. And by the way, I'll have the link up for the campaign, and it's at seedandspark.com/fun/still-short-film.
Yes.
Hashtag story, which is kind of long, but we'll have the link.
I don't think you need the hashtag story. You can just do still short film and it'll take you there. Yeah.
So when I first met you and first talked to you, you mentioned about, like, your inspiration to start writing was to write, like, stories for yourself, you know?
Yeah, to act in. Yeah, for me to do stuff. Yeah, because, well, I'm an actor first. I will always say that. No matter if I, even if I stop acting, I'll always say I'm an actor first. And I was doing a lot of comedy and like, kids' TV shows and sitcoms and great things, amazing things that I love to do. But I just kind of got pigeonholed into this kind of comedic role, and I wasn't getting auditions or parts that were a little bit more serious or dark or, to me, fun. and so I decided to kind of write my own stuff, which Jackson Love, I think I met you when I did Boo,
yeah,
because it was at in Massachusetts.
Happenstance, yeah,
Happenstance Horror Fest. I love it. It was the best. It was so much fun. And that's where I met you, and you gave me my award, and I was like, and then we became best friends. And so Jackson Love was the first one that I did, and I wrote it to be like a dark role for me, and then Boo as well. And then with this one, you know, I'm directing it like I did with Boo, and I don't really, it's hard to direct and act at the same time and produce and market and everything else. Yeah. And I thought about giving it to somebody else, but both because of my needing to act and also like it being my story to some degree, I just couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it. So I'm going to make it happen one way or another to do both again.
So how long ago, did you decide to write about it?
So this happened in June of, 2021. And it probably took me like a year. So probably like 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, something like that, maybe a year ago, almost. It took me a long time to write about it. I wasn't I wrote in my journal a lot, you know, about my feelings and stuff like that, but I could not find a way to make it, to turn it into art or creativity of any kind, because I was just devastated by the whole thing. And then when I sat down to just kind of, I was like, I just want to write like a metaphor for what I'm feeling right now. I just want to, like, so that people get it that maybe don't. And it came out really easy, like probably the easiest thing I've ever written in my life. Of course, I did revisions and I rewrote some of it later on and whatever. But the initial writing of it came out like just really easy. It just came out. It almost like it wrote itself, which is not how my other projects were at all. Yeah.
Did you go back to any of the journal writing to look what you wrote, you know, over that last year?
I didn't to write it. It was all still very fresh for me, so I didn't really need to, but I do plan to do that before I do my shot list and start learning my lines and stuff like that, because I want to tap back into the original pain, unfortunately. I know that it's kind of masochistic of me to even be doing this, but I felt that me revisiting that pain was worth it if I could help other women or people or whoever, men in their relationships, that are dealing with this kind of loss. If I could help them in some way, make them feel heard, understood, you know, just kind of tell their story so that other people can commiserate or empathize with them, then it's worth it to me. Willing to do it.
Yeah. When you said you first started to write like as a metaphor, were you sure at that time, like, I'm actually going to write this as a script and make it? Or were you thinking, well, maybe I'll just write this and it'll help me in some way?
Or yeah, did you even know? I 100% was not thinking I was going to make it. Just because the idea of going through everything I'm doing now to create it about one of like the worst things that's ever happened to me in my life seemed really daunting. But my first idea was just, I remember thinking, like, when I was pregnant, for the very short time that I was pregnant, it was like I was given this like gift from somewhere, from nowhere, because it was an accident. I didn't intend to get pregnant, but I was very happy about it. So it was a very happy accident to me. And I felt like I had been given this like chance at motherhood that I've always wanted. And it was like, oh my God, how did this happen? And of course I was scared and nervous, but also like elated. And I felt really like I was nervous about the pregnancy and everything, but I was like, I felt like this is what's supposed to be, you know, it felt like really meant to be. And then when I lost the baby, it was just gone. Like everything that I thought that I was going to get and have finally after 42 years of living, and everything I had imagined that my life was going to change and this was going to change and I was going to move and I had to quit my job and I was going to do different things. And all of the stuff that I started to prepare for this life with this child that I was starting to prepare for excitedly, was just taken away from me. So that's kind of where the script came from. I thought, what if I just was like walking around in the forest one day and there was just like a crying baby coming from somewhere. And I just was like, I was like, that's how it felt. Like there was just this baby and I'm like, I'm going to take this baby and I'm going to make this baby my baby. And then, you know, I thought, and what if it just disappears? Like, just like that, because that's what happened to me. And so that's kind of where the script idea came from. And then it kind of morphed into a kind of a metaphor for the whole thing and how nightmarish and dreamlike it was to me, right? Like at first it was this dream that like, oh my God, like how did I get this baby? This is amazing. And then it was like this nightmare that like everything I ever wanted was just like ripped away from me. And, you know, not to get too graphic because I don't want to make anybody too uncomfortable, but it was a very painful experience, both emotionally and physically, and scary and horrifying and just things that nobody ever talks about and nobody ever says that, you know, I thought I knew a lot. I was a women's studies minor in college. Like I thought I knew a lot about women's health and women's issues, and I knew nothing until this happened to me. So yeah, that's basically where it came from.
Yeah, I would assume it's something no one would really know unless they've actually gone through it.
Yeah, because people don't talk about it so much. And, you know, after this happened to me, I just went to Facebook and Instagram and posted about it. And I didn't even really think twice about, like, is this going to make people feel weird? Or is this the right thing to do? Or is this too personal? I just didn't because I needed people's love and support. I just needed it. I was getting it from people around me in my life, of course, but like I don't have a partner. I wasn't with anybody. I just needed people to understand how much I was hurting. And I've never been the kind of person who only posts happy things on my social media. I
Right.
post happy things all the time, but I also post my real things because I want to present myself in a way that's real, and that's really important to me, that I'm honest and real, and I'm not like, look at my amazing life, and like, oh, it's oh, you know, it's sometimes it
Right.
is amazing, and
Sure.
sometimes it's horrible. And I'm just the kind of person who's always gonna is always gonna share that. But when I did, a lot of people came to me privately and on the post itself to tell me that they had experienced miscarriages or stillbirths or even like infant loss. And some of these people hadn't ever told anybody ever, ever outside of their family ever. Some people hadn't told me that I knew them for a very long time and I never knew this about them. And I realized that A, it's very common, like very common. And B, nobody's talking about it. And why not? It's something that is happening so often to so many people, and it's really affecting and traumatizing people, and people are afraid to talk about it. And I don't know if it's coming from shame. I know I felt a lot of shame. I felt like, oh, what did I did wrong? What did I do wrong? I did something wrong. This is my fault, which it wasn't, but that's how I felt. And also, you feel bad kind of putting other people on the spot and making them feel uncomfortable because you know that it's a taboo subject that makes other people uncomfortable. Because it's like women's stuff, which is an uncomfortable subject for most
That's
people.
even a term, women's problems,
Right,
right?
women's stuff. We
Which
don't talk about
is a
it.
long, like long
A
list of
long
what that
list
could
of
mean,
women's
right?
stuff, right? It's also like related to sex, which is like another taboo thing. And it's also related to death, which is another taboo thing, like grieving and death. So it's like this like perfect storm of very difficult things to talk about. But I have never been one to shy away from making people uncomfortable. I don't care. To me, it's like the ends justify the means, you know, like if I make some people uncomfortable, fine, you know, you don't have to listen, you don't have to watch, you don't have to, if it's really so bad for you, don't. But for the people who really need to hear that they're not alone and that there's someone else has gone through it means everything. Like hearing people's stories meant everything to me because I realized, God, everything I'm feeling is normal. Like all the pain and the shame and the just all of it, the trauma is normal. I mean, I talked to some women who had 12 miscarriages or,
Wow.
like horrible things that they've just kept trying. And I can't even imagine, like if I were to get pregnant again, which I would love to, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I'd be terrified every single second of it because of what happened the first time. And to have gone through that multiple times, I don't even know how somebody survives something like that. I really don't. Or to be pregnant until you're 6 or 7 months and then have a stillbirth or something, or have the baby and then they die of like SIDS or something, God forbid. Like it just keeps getting worse and worse. And none of them are, it's not like, oh, because I lost my baby at around 8 or 9 weeks, that's better than somebody who lost it, later. It's
Yeah.
not better, but it just only gets progressively, I'm sure, more difficult and horrible.
Yeah. The
So.
I just wanted to say about social media, because usually when people talk about social media, it's usually in a negative light, but you said in a positive way. You know, people try to help you, and they talk to you, and also you help them by talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of bad things about social media, for sure. And there are many times where I'm like, oh, I gotta get off of here. But
I understand.
I'm sure we all feel that way, and I know many people who have just gotten, just right. said, forget it. But, you know, I use it a lot for promotion for my projects and my career and stuff like that. So for that reason alone, it's hard for me to get off. But also, especially during the lockdown and during COVID and the whole pandemic, like, it was the only way I could connect with people. And it became like, I made a lot of friendships that way. And there's a lot of people that I meet at film festivals that live so far from me that if I didn't have social media, I wouldn't be able to keep up those friendships. I wouldn't be able to keep up with what they're doing and congratulate them on things and support them when something bad happens. And so I think there's a lot of good to social media. It's just, you got to filter through the shit.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in the various chats. By the way, we're streaming. This is the first time we're streaming Without Your Head everywhere. So it's on YouTube, multiple Facebook accounts. So people are sending in messages, but through this, if they do it through different Facebooks, I can't see their name. So I only see Facebook user. So just for heads up, someone, I think there's a way around that, but I have no idea about that yet. But so if you send in a question or a comment, just put your name in front of it so I can attribute you to the message.
Yes, I'm trying to find it too on mine so I can see maybe I know who they are, but we'll see.
Yeah, because we have sorry for your loss, hun, but I'm not positive you said that.
Well, thank you to whoever said that regardless. I appreciate it. Yeah, and this is very sad. I don't mean to bring you guys down. I feel so bad, but here we are.
What was the experience like writing about it as a story? And not like, you know, a verbatim story, you know, like you said, it's
because it's not right, my right. story. It's mm-hmm. not like, it's not what happened to me. Thank God, actually, because in the character, I honestly think her story is worse. But it felt really good to write about it. It just felt like I just kept thinking, how do I explain to people how this feels? How can I? Because it's almost impossible. It's like, how do I show them my heart being broken? You know, like, how do I do that? And so I thought, when I wrote this, I thought, oh my God, if I make this, I can just be like, here, this is how it feels. It feels like this. And you can visualize it and you can see it, which I hope, you know, when we shoot it, that's kind of the idea. I want it to be that, like, you can feel it. You can be in this character's body almost and feel the pain that she's feeling and the confusion and the grief and the trauma, and just how horrifying the whole thing is. So, and kind of like with Boo, I mean, Boo is about addiction, which is another topic that has touched my life in many ways. And I really felt like I wanted to show people, like, this is how it feels. Like, you, when you're addicted to something, even if it's someone you love, it doesn't stop you sometimes. Like, if it's like, oh, it's the drugs or the person you love, a lot of times people pick the drugs because it's so powerful. So in the same sense, I wanted this to be, you know, a way to be like, do you get it now? Like, do you understand? And also for people who do get it, to be like, oh, thank you for showing how I feel. And for, you know, that now I can show this to people and be like, this is what it felt like for me. This, like, this confusion and this, like, loss and everything. Yeah.
By the way, it was Cindy Sinabria. From horror, she has a website, horror, I forget the name. Rachel Moser, when you share it, you get told about it by so many people that you never heard about it from.
That's so true. And I mean, a couple friends of mine, of course I won't mention who they are, but it happened to them at the same time it happened to me. Like, they were going through it at the same time and I didn't even know. You know, and I didn't know till much later when I posted about it and they came to me and they're like, you know, we were going through this at the same time. And it's crazy because you just don't know what people are going through, you know, like, you have no idea. And if they're not someone who feels open to talk about stuff, you may never know. And you may never understand that that's something that they're dealing with.
Horror tour guide is at their website, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you have a lot of people involved that I know, like Michael Epstein and Sophia Cassiola. And so how do you go about gathering your team together to create this?
Well, I go and I try to find the best people in each of the job positions that I can get, you know, and that's what I got with Michael and Sophia for sure. I got so lucky that A, they were wanting to do it, B, that they were available to do it because they're so busy, and C, that they just care. Like, they're just, I don't know, I can't say enough good things about Sophia and Michael. They are very talented, as you know, because you've been in their films, and but they're also just like genuinely nice people who just want to make art and work with good people and do good things. You know, when we did Boo, I tell people this all the time, I don't know if they don't want me to, but they shot my teaser for free because they love me, I guess, I don't know. Or they just wanted something to do and they had nothing to do that day. But it was like, that could have cost me so much money, and it might have been impossible to even do if they had not done that for me. And of course I paid them back by working on their stuff for free or whatever, but
yeah.
But, you know, and with this, like, they've gone above and beyond, which is, they're also co-producers on the film because they're going above and beyond. They're not just doing their jobs as cinematographer and sound. They've been going on scouts with me and, you know, talking about logistics with me and helping me figure out things that I need. And, yeah. And then as far as, like, everybody else, like, I never want to be the most knowledgeable person on my team. Never. I want to be, because I'm not, I know a lot, but I don't know everything. And I don't ever want to think that I know everything. And there's so many people who know so much more than me in their department. So I want to get who knows the best about their department. And if they know more than me, great. Because then I can defer to them and be like, what do I do? What do I need? You know, and I can learn from them also. So I have no ego about it. I definitely don't need to be the smartest person in the room, and I don't want to be, in fact. I want to be able to learn from other people's experience and also bring on the best people I can possibly bring on. So I got really lucky with Sophia and Michael. Also, my other producer, Joseph Stottman, was, you don't know him.
I don't know him.
They're awesome. I'm getting used to their new pronouns, so I apologize if I mess it up, but they are an amazing person. And I met them at a film festival, and they were a big fan of my work. And they came to me and said, you know, whatever your next film is, I don't even care what it is. I love the way you storytell. I want to give you money for it, and I want to help. I don't want to just like be up someone who pledges. I want to like actually produce with you. And they did. So they came on board. They've been such a support to me. They're the ones who secured our real life baby that we're going to have.
I'm going to ask who, by the way, has an amazing bio. I'm a big fan of their bio. Yeah. On the...
Yeah, he's like, I've not done anything yet.
Right.
But this is exciting. I mean, the poor thing had a job 3 weeks into his life, right. Which I felt bad about. So his mom and my producer, Joseph, are very, very good friends. And Joseph was like, yeah, my friend just gave birth a few weeks ago. I'm just going to ask her. I was like, okay. Like, if I just gave birth, I don't know if I'd be like, yeah, sure. But thank God Lindsay is an amazing person and is willing to let us use her son for a very short time in the film. And she's coming down here from Northern California, and she's been so supportive sharing about it. And I think she's excited. And I don't know if Cooper's excited, but maybe one day he will be. He's so cute, and I cannot wait to like hold him and hug him and kiss him because I love babies so much. And I'm just very grateful to both Joseph and Lindsay for arranging all of that. Obviously we're going to use the baby in a way that is safe for the baby.
Right.
And probably not that much. And we have a doll to kind of fill in for his scenes when we don't really need him to be, you know, awake. But it was important to have a real live baby because I think I want to see that. I want to see those moments. And I think it's important to see that connection, because even though my baby was not a live baby and it wasn't even really a baby yet, it was just kind of cells, I guess. I felt really connected to him. And again, I'm saying him, and we didn't even know if he was a boy or a girl yet, but I felt like he was a him. So I named him Max Jacob, and I just had to like make him a real thing, because it was real to me and I didn't want to feel like it was not real. So anyway, it's important to see that connection in the film. And and you know, Cooper's gonna have like an IMDb page before he's even like 6 months old.
Right.
Good for him.
He's gonna be higher on the IMDb star rating than me.
Right? If he ever becomes like a really famous actor, I'll be like, I got him first.
Yeah. I saw the
potential in the. His only qualification was he was born and his mom was willing to let him be.
Yeah, they don't need to know all the incidentals. But yeah.
So,
I want to ask you about the festivals, since you met some of those people through the festivals. So first of all, the importance of festivals, and also something I don't know about. I know the festivals. That's how I've gotten involved in different things. But having a script in festivals, like... What's the benefits of that?
People ask me that all the time, and I have to say it's a mixed bag, right? Because it depends on the festival. There are some festivals that having a script in it is a big deal, A, because it's a really big festival or something, and it's really important for whatever reason, so it's a nice laurel to have, and it helps you raise money for the film, etc. Or festivals like Genre Blast, for instance, which is one of my favorite festivals. And there's many of them. Also, Vancouver.
Which I've never been
to.
I'm hoping to go to. Yeah.
Oh my God, you have to, and come and do your show there. Oh my God, it would be amazing. I have nothing to do with their festival, but I might as well because I love them so much, and I talk about them all the time to everybody. But it's just such a great. It's like film camp, and I love it. But they also do table reads. So does Vancouver Horror Show. They do them on Zoom, which is amazing because then I don't have to go to Vancouver, which I don't usually get to
right,
go.
Right. Nothing against Vancouver, I assume.
I would love to go to Vancouver. I love Vancouver. I wanted to move to Canada like my whole life, but it's hard to get there sometimes.
Exactly.
It's nice that they have them on Zoom so that I can participate. They always have great actors. They're always really well done. So if the festival does table reads, to me, that means they're an amazing festival. There's also festivals like Nightmares Film Festival, another great festival that they will send out. They do this thing called the final list, where if you're one of the selected scripts, you can send in your log line and your email address, and it goes out to everybody involved in the festival, all the filmmakers, and then people can contact you like, hey, can I read your script? Hey, oh, I'm interested in this. Maybe I want to make it. Maybe I want to do it. So there's another time that it's, you know, it's helpful. Then there are some festivals that, you know, they take scripts, but then it's like, you're there and it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Like, because there's no table read, there's no
unless,
list going out to anybody.
Right. How does anyone even know besides just like they might happen to see a list of names or something?
Yeah. I mean, I've been at a couple fests like that where I'll win an award and then people will come up to me and be like, oh, can I read your script? Because I won the award. So they want to read it. Or if I don't win, which happens also, I'll go up to people and be like, do you want to read my script? You know, I'm like, send me your movie, I'll send you my script. And, you know, but it's hard to get people to read scripts. I'm really bad at reading scripts, even though, you know, I try to so that it's fair for everybody. Oh my God, that reminds me. Oh no, I didn't. Okay, good. I was like somebody else. I was supposed to read somebody's script. Sure. And I thought, oh my God, I really dropped the ball, but I didn't. Okay, good. So it just depends. But even if, sorry, this is like my headphone is hurting my ear. Even if, for me, even if it's not a great festival for a screenwriter, there still is a benefit because you get a free pass to the festival usually. So it's like, okay, I can go and I don't have to pay to go. I mean, you pay for everything, you know, to get there and everything, but you don't have to pay for your pass. Also, it's just always a good networking opportunity, both for business and for friendships. And for me, sometimes they're interchangeable and sometimes they're separate, but either way, they're a huge plus to going to a festival. If you're going to submit to festivals, you know, I can't always go to all of them. And sometimes I submit to some that I know I'm not going to be able to go to. And some people would say, don't do that, because if you're not going to go, then don't bother. But, you know, it depends. Like, there are various reasons why I would submit to different places. But if you can go, it makes all the difference. I mean, all the difference. Like, a laurel's a laurel, fine. But what you get from actually being there is the part that's, like, really priceless. And honestly, everybody that's worked on my projects and everybody that's working on this one, with the exception of a couple of people, I've met at film festivals. And you get to know, like, who's good at what they're doing, you know, who's making good stuff.
Yeah, because you can, there's the proof. You can look up and watch it, yeah.
Right, and you could be like, oh, this is like a really, you know, this is a really good, she's a really good cinematographer, and, right. You know, oh,
that's a good point,
really
too, because even if you don't particularly like a short, you could still tell if, like, maybe it didn't work for you for whatever reason, but you could tell, like, it shot well, or there's, you know, there's potential there, there's something about it.
Oh, my God, yeah, like, sometimes, I've seen a lot of shorts that look beautiful, like, flawlessly gorgeous. I mean, I would give them cinematography awards all day long. But the script is terrible, you know, or something. But still, I'd be like, I want to know who that cinematographer is. Because if I can find a good script or write a good script, then that cinematographer can put their good cinematography to use, you know. So, yeah, it's really invaluable. Also, it's fun. I mean, I'm not a big go out and party kind of person. I never was. In fact, I really like to stay home. And the lockdown was like the best thing ever for me. I loved it. But when I'm at these festivals, that's my social time. That's when I stay up all night and hang out. And I'm not a big drinker, so I don't really drink, but I'll just hang out with people while they're drinking. And it's just fun, and it's just really good. And it's nice to, like, meet people and also to get to know the film festival directors, because they're usually filmmakers themselves. There's a lot to learn from them, and there's a lot to learn from the other filmmakers there. So I think if you can go to film festivals with or without a project, go. With a project, for sure, go. Without a project, still fun, still a good time, and you get to see some good stuff. And you see films that you would never see anywhere else, never. And, like, things, and there, some people are doing things that should be seen other places, but it's not. And the only place you can see it are at these festivals. So, like, some of the best films I've ever seen in my life, I've seen at film festivals, for sure, yeah. That I never would have seen anywhere.
Yeah, I say all the time, I think any level, if you just go as a fan to watch movies, or if you're involved in any way, I definitely agree with all that. And, like, you'll see some stuff that'll eventually be on Shudder, maybe the next year or whatever. But, like you said, sometimes you see stuff that's so good and it never goes anywhere, which it's kind of bittersweet. It's cool that you got to see it, but sometimes
nobody
it makes you wonder, like, why didn't this ever go anywhere? But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is always sad. I mean, especially with shorts. Now there's a few more places that shorts can live.
It used to be they would just disappear or maybe pop up on someone's YouTube, but there are some platforms now.
Right. Now there's actual platform. I mean, Boo is on Altar, so there's that, you know, and there's different other platforms and anthologies and DVDs and, you know, collections of different kinds. So you can find them now, not just on YouTube. Not to say there's anything wrong with YouTube,
sure.
But it's nice also to, like, for the filmmaker to have made a little bit of money back, you know, like, it's negligible money, especially with, like, Amazon, who I love, that my stuff is up on there, but I think we make, like, $6 a year on like, everything. Michael Epstein likes to talk about.
Yeah, from my understanding, it used to be a valuable place for independent filmmakers, but those days are...
Those days. I never got those days. I arrived way after those days. But, you know, I don't make any of these. I haven't made a feature yet, so I can't speak to that. But for my shorts, I don't make them to make money. Like, they're not going to make money. I make them for the sake of art, or mostly I make them for the sake of the message, for me, they all have to have a message of some kind. It doesn't have to be as depressing as this particular one. But I want it to have a meaning, and I want people to see it, and it makes them think about something in a different way. So for me, that's the most important. And I'm never going to make the money back. Never. Never. And that's okay. That's okay. Which is why we do the crowdfunding, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to make the movie at all, because I don't have that kind of money. That even if I wanted to, I couldn't spend that kind of money. And, you know, and then I end up spending a lot of money out of pocket to do all of the festivals and the marketing and all that stuff, because that just, but at least that's like, it trickles in, you know, you do a few festivals and then you win, and then I work a little more and then I pay off those credit cards and then I go back to festivals and I work a little more and I pay off those credit cards. And, you know, look, I don't, luckily, I guess, I don't know, maybe not luckily, I don't have anybody else really to spend any money on. So any money I make goes towards my career. Yeah. And my friendships and going to these festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah. One more thing about the festivals. What advice would you give someone who's never been to one? And then they have a project. What ones to like look out for? Because there's so many, it would be hard to choose which ones like is viable.
I would say for sure ask, or if you know any other filmmakers, ask them. Like people who've been to festivals, because they will know and they'll be able, like I have a long list. If anybody comes to me, I'm happy to send you my list of like festivals I love. Mm-hmm. And there's many of them that I love. But I would say a few things. One, if they're charging you for like, to like enter best actor category, best director category, right. But like if there's like a billion awards and they're charging you to like enter to those even awards,
I actually didn't know that one, but
run. I mean, run. It's not worth your money. Also, if they're charging you to screen your film, or if they're, which I've seen, or if they're charging you to go to parties at their festival, which I've also seen and fell for in the very beginning, which I will never do again. Anything where they're really charging you for stuff like
there's
that.
There's a whole list
crazy.
Of charges.
Right.
There,
yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, or if they have like just a billion awards, you're like, okay, so it's like it's a Laurel Mill type of a thing. There are a lot of festivals that are totally legitimate, amazing festivals that are there to promote your work and you and have a good time and screen your films. And then there's a lot more, I would say maybe 80% of them, that are just trying to take your money. And they know that you're desperate and you don't know, and you don't know any better. It's also why I started a kid acting school a long time ago, for the same reason, because there's so many people preying on children, kid actors and their parents who don't know any better. So it's the same thing with these film festivals. They know you don't know any better. They know you are just like, oh, this looks, you know, just because the word can is in the name of the festival doesn't mean it's at the Cannes Film Festival. Just that's right, my right. number yeah. one. Like, you're probably not going to screen your short film at the Cannes Film Festival. I'm sure there's 1%. Somebody is. Obviously, somebody is.
Right. But most likely, you probably have to know someone to begin with. But yeah.
I mean, you know, Sundance also. Now, I always submit to Sundance because I consider it my tax. I call it the Sundance tax. I know I'm fucking getting, but it's kind of like playing the lottery, which you do really well. You should submit to Sundance because you win all the time. And I don't know how
Michael
you do it.
To get the
yeah. Michael would disagree with me on this.
Yeah, yes,
but
yeah. He's very anti-Sundance.
Like,
yeah.
Sundance. But I don't care. I'm always like, whatever, maybe. You never know. It's like, you know, lottery.
Sure.
But
and if you don't do it, you know you won't get in. So
you're 100% not getting in if you don't send it.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? It's worth it. It's my little tax for the year. And if it gets in, amazing. And if it doesn't, which it probably won't, okay. What did I lose, you know? But I wouldn't do that for many festivals like that. That would not be where I would submit stuff. Also, you want to look at like what festivals are playing movies like yours, right? Just because it's a horror movie doesn't necessarily mean that horror festival will want it. Like I had, like Jackson Love is more of a psychological horror. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. And I submitted it to just anything that had horror in the title. And many of them want, you know, like body parts, cutting up and blood and, you know, stuff that I don't do. Uh-huh. I just don't, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not what I do.
Yeah.
And of course, my film didn't get in because that's not the kind of movie they want to play. But it did get into festivals that are not horror festivals that maybe had like a midnight showing or a horror block or something. So I would say, look at the festivals, look at the kinds of movies that they're playing, look at the kinds of movies that are winning, check them out, see, you know, like what they like. And that way you can direct your submissions more specifically instead of just doing what I did with my first film, which was literally throw everything at the wall and see what stuck. And then I realized for Boo that, okay, well, now I know what stuck. So I can choose from the sticking ones. And go, and I'm going to be even more, you know, with this, because this is also like, it is a horror movie, but it's also not a horror movie. It's also very much just a drama, and it's just kind of a sad, psychological drama. So I want to really be careful about where I submit, because there are some places that are, you know, even if it's the best movie ever, they're just not going to take it because it's not their thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's actually a thing I like about horror. There's so many different types. But I'm someone who, depending on my mood, I'll watch something really bloody and crazy or something more thought-provoking. But I understand not everyone is like that. So,
I mean, honestly, okay. I mean, I've said this on every interview since the beginning of time, but I've never been a huge fan of horror movies.
The interview's over.
I know. No, only because I'm a scaredy cat, not because they're not good or well made. They are good. But over the last few years, being at hundreds of horror film festivals and seeing lots and lots of horror movies that more than I've ever seen in my entire life, I have to say, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, they're fun. Like, and there's something really cathartic about watching stuff like that. And, you know, I'm also still the person who screams in the theater. I'm the only one who screams in the theater. At like these horror festivals, like people are like, yeah, cut them up. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, I can't watch. But I think that makes me a more fun audience.
I agree. No, that's Annabelle and I were at Boston Underground Film Festival last weekend, and she says hello. Sorry, she can't be here.
Hi.
We were sitting next to someone who was screaming throughout all the short blocks. And it was fun until the one, and then I got beer all over my legs, and that wasn't as fun.
Oh, that's not fun.
No. And to top it off, she didn't even say sorry or anything. I was like, what the hell?
But, yeah. That's just not cool, lady.
Right.
We'll find you. No, that's not cool. You know, Boston, what are you going to do?
Exactly. But it does add to the experience, I think. I think that's why horror and comedy are fun to watch with an audience, because there's more interaction.
That's the other thing, is like, there's a lot of horror movies that, you know, if I had seen them alone, I don't know, I would have been like, I don't know, okay. But when I'm watching them with people, especially people who love horror, it is so fun. It is so fun. I mean, it's like the Rocky Horror, you know, experience for every movie, because people just get super into it. But I'm always the one screaming, and people laugh, and it's just, they're like, everyone's so numb to it because everyone's so used to it. But for me, it's all so fresh. And it's something, I'm a new horror fan, I guess, so I haven't been kind of desensitized, I guess, yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I honestly ever will be. I'm a scaredy cat. I am scared of everything. So when people are like, I'm too scared to see your movies, like people who don't like horror movies, I'm like, do you understand that this is my movie? Like, you think that I would put something that's so scary that you can't watch it? I can't make something. My mom's like, they're scary. They're really scary. I'm like, okay, well, to you they are, I guess. But yeah.
Colleen here in the chat. This is fantastic information. These festivals sound very fun.
They are.
Todd and Ken both say hello. Hello, Todd and Ken. Colleen also said, environmental ambiance in a theater or at home with good friends really can make a film.
Totally changes the whole thing. Like, there's some films that just have to be seen with other people that I think just make it so much more than watching them at home. Although, when I watch them at home and they're horror movies, everybody knows I have to watch them during the day. I call them daytime movies that I have to watch during the day when the sun is out. And, you know, I said, oh, there's my producer, Joseph. He said, psychological scary, always better than gore scary. Well, I don't know if it's always better. For me, it is, but everybody's got a different thing. Gory scary, yes.
Yeah. I forgot I could do these cool things now, like dust this up here. Yeah.
So fancy. yeah. So anyway.
Yeah,
so. Yo, speaking about my mother, if I can make an announcement.
Yeah.
It's a casting announcement that we haven't announced anywhere yet. So this is an exclusive, Neil.
I need like sound effects and bells.
And, bah, 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 bah! And it's not even that, it's not that exciting, but it is to me. So there's a voiceover role in the script that's for my character's mother, and my mother begged me to play it. She really wants to play my mother.
I love
in the movie.
It's very exciting.
So she will, Sina Abergel, my mom, is going to be playing my mother in the movie. It's going to be, it's voiceover only. You won't actually see her, but I made her audition. I just want you to know. I was like, I need you to read the lines.
Well, there's no nepotism involved.
No, I made her audition because I was like, I need to make sure this doesn't sound really bad. But she actually did it so well that it upset me, which is what happens in the scene. And I was like, oh, I see how, okay. So this is going to elicit some real emotions from me because I know that tone and I don't like that tone. And I, you know, because the mother in the script is nothing like my mother, just to clarify. The mother in the script is kind of blowing off her daughter's pain, and my mom was like the opposite of that in every possible way. She wouldn't even think of saying the kinds of things that this mom says to her. But I said to my mom, how are you doing this so convincingly when I know you don't feel this way about it? She goes, I'm thinking about other things in your life I would like for you to move on from.
Interesting.
Like ex-boyfriends and things that I would like for you to move past. And so I'm using that. And I was like, that's where I've heard that tone before. It's about those things.
Wow, your mom's a real actor. She's using...
My mom is a real actor. Oh, I'm going to plug in my computer. Yes, my mom is a fantastic actress. She's also a fantastic cook. And so we just released a new incentive today. She has a Facebook page called Sina's Kitchen. And she does recipes and cooking stuff on there. And she's like a phenomenal cook. And we're offering a homemade dinner for six from Sina's Kitchen. My mom, you will not be sorry. She will make it according to your specifications, your allergies, your preferences, whatever you want. It includes challah if you want to make it a Shabbat dinner, and a bottle of wine. But you have to live in LA or you have to come pick it up in LA. I mean, we can't pay for you to travel here. And my mom said she can't deliver it, but you come get it. It will all be there for you. You invite five people over and you have a beautiful dinner. It's $1,000 pledge. Believe me, that's cheap for what you're going to get, and it would help me, and you're going to get this delicious dinner and cooked by one of the actors from the film, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's wild. That's very cool. I like when the incentives are a little bit out of the box and something fun like that.
Yeah, she really wanted to do it, too. She was like, what about Sina's Kitchen? I want to cook for people. She loves feeding people. My mom loves feeding people. But yeah, she's very good at it. And if you go to her page on Facebook, Sina's Kitchen, you'll see all the beautiful things. Also on the Seed and Spark, I made a little collage of some of her food. It's pretty amazing. She used to have a catering company and stuff like that. So it's really good, high quality stuff, and kosher also, if that's something that is of interest to you. And there's only one available. She's like, I'm doing it once. So there's only one. So whoever gets it, gets it. But if you get it, you're very, very lucky. And you should go and bid on it now.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, definitely should do that. I like that. It's very fun. What are some of the other? There's a lot of cool perks if you'd like to talk about those.
Yeah. Oh, God, off the top of my head. Well, there's meetings with me, which I always feel like sounds ridiculous. Like, why would you spend $500 to talk to me? Because I'll talk to you for free. But if you want to help me out and
you're helping
talk
out
to me,
right, right.
Then it works out. There's meeting with me, meeting with Joseph. There's also a set visit where we're doing like a supporter kind of you can watch us film for a couple hours and then have a meal with the cast and crew. Also catered by Senior's Kitchen, who's catering our food on set. Yeah,
she's at work. She's cooking.
She's busy. My mom is working. My parents have both been very supportive with all of my films. She's been the catering person for all three. My dad lugs, you know, machinery and equipment and the van and gives us locations and he's always helping out. What else do we have? Oh, we're going to announce a new one tomorrow, but I'll just tell you about it now. We are going to be giving away one of the on-set baby dolls, the real life looking baby dolls from the set will be an incentive as well. Not the baby. Sorry. Cooper's got to stay with his mom. Yeah. Although if he was up for grabs, I might take him. he's very cute. No, don't worry, Lindsay. I won't steal your baby. did that sound convincing? Anyway, but we're gonna kind of auction off one of the dolls. We also have really excitingly is that that's not a word, but anyway, we're making I'm making a DVD of all of my films, so it'll have Jackson Love, Boo, and Still on it. It's called Love Scars. Ah, there it is.
Boom.
It has not been made yet because obviously it's waiting for one more film, but I designed the cover and it's gonna have all three films plus special features like behind the scenes videos, teasers, trailers, crowdfunding pitch videos, etc. for all three films. So if you donate $125 if you pledge $125 or more, so any of the incentives after $125, you will receive that probably next year after the film is done and made. And if you do it while we're still on the air today, I only have a few, so I don't know the limit, maybe like five or six. I will also give you a bloody disgusting World of Death Blu-ray that includes Boo, my film, and 17 other amazing horror shorts.
Oh, that's awesome.
Some from like friends of mine, like Sergio Pinheiro, I'm saying his name wrong, I'm sorry, Jeremy Herbert, Vincent DeSanti, Patrick Ray. There's some really nice stuff on here, so I will include this with your DVD if you do it before I get off air today. What else do we have? We also have credits, obviously. You can get producer credits, IMDb credits. It's always nice to have. And all of these will include special thanks. If you want to donate at the $25 level and up, we make a little indie hero supporter.
Which I've seen a lot of my friends are on there. Miriam, whose film just played at Boston Underground Film Festival, she's on there. And Jason, a lot of cool people.
Jason Butera. Yeah, so many amazing, almost all people I've met at film festivals who are just supporting me as filmmakers themselves. And so we wanted to kind of shout everybody out with your picture and your name, and we'll post it all over.
I really like that. I think that's a nice touch.
Oh, good. It takes me a long time, so I'm glad you like it. Yesterday, I think I did like 40 of them. It took me like 4 hours, like no joke, to like collect the pictures or whatever, but it's worth it.
I do all the graphics here on the, so I understand. Yeah, all that thing takes a lot of time. Yeah.
It takes so much time, but it's okay.
And like you're saying earlier, though, if it's something you love, it still takes time, but the time goes by faster.
It does, because I honestly looked up and I was like, oh my God, I haven't eaten lunch. Like, it's 1 o'clock. I started at like 7 a.m. Like, what's happening? You know, I just kind of zoned out. But I want to thank people because they're, you know, pledging their hard-earned money to help me. And so if there's something I can do to help them, I, of course, want to do that. Another thing is if anybody donates or pledges $50 or more to anything before we get off air, the first person to do that, because I only have one, I have a pregnancy loss grief workbook that was made by a woman who had a late term miscarriage, and she made this workbook with all sorts of things you could do to work through your grief. Aww. And it also comes with these affirmation cards, like, it's okay to want to try again. Don't be afraid to ask for help. You're stronger than you think. It's okay to not be okay. Stuff like that. So whoever donates 50 or more, pledges 50 or more before I'm done, the first person to do that, I will send this to you ASAP. And it's really, they're really amazing, beautiful things. You can also get them from her yourself. I have all the links are on my page and on the Still Facebook page as well. But it's cool to, you know, it's cool that women are helping other women who have gone through this. And, I wish I had known about this when I needed it more, but I'm glad that's kind of why I'm doing this, so that people who are going through it right now, have the awareness that it's around. Also, March of Dimes sent me this amazing like bereavement package that was completely free. I'll put the link up later. They sent like these like chimes.
Oh, so nice.
There's like a card saying, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. There's a journal to write your feelings down, and a little wildflower thing that you, if you wanted to bury something and put some flowers with it, you could. It sounds really kind of morbid, but it's actually really sweet and I think really comforting. I think I got it a little late for my purpose, but I hope that other people know about it. So we have all those links are on the Seed and Spark page. And also I am going to be donating whatever equals 5% of our total at the end. I'm going to donate 5% of that amount to various child loss support organizations, child and pregnancy loss support organizations, which are also listed there, because I wanted to give back as well, not just take. And I wanted to get these organizations some, you know, attention so that women knew they were out there. Because honestly, when this happened to me, I was so lost. I couldn't like do research to try to find things that were going to maybe help me. You know what I mean? I was just like in pain. But had I maybe heard about them before, I would have known to go to get them or to have them. And I think some of them, you know, are doing really great work, like counseling, and they get grocery gift cards for women who have lost babies and help them, you know, feed their families and other comforting type, kind of help. So you're helping me, but you're also helping other people who have gone through this by helping me. And so hopefully we will make a lot of money and I can donate a lot of money and we can make this film and I don't know, change the conversation around this topic and start a conversation around this topic. Cause I think it's important, as depressing as it can be sometimes.
When you showed the DVD with the three movies, in your mind, do they share like a similar universe? Could they be like a trilogy of yours? Not necessarily, you know, like a continuing story.
You know, I mean, they could, I suppose. The real through line through all of them, which is why I called it Love Scars, is different types of love, and the horrific ways we sometimes go to attain, like lengths we go to attain it, right? Jax was about unrequited love and wanting love and needing love and doing anything I had to do to like get that love, and that came from me for sure. And then Boo was all about like, even though you love somebody, you know, sometimes what you desire is stronger than the love that you have for somebody else. And in her case, obviously, it was blood was more important to her, being a vampire. That's kind of tends to be how that goes.
Spoiler and with this alert, one, but yeah.
Right. And yes, I know. Sorry. Well, I feel like it's been out for a while. I used to not say, but now I'm like, I'm just going to say, it's also on the back of that DVD. There's like a big picture. at this point I can't contain it anymore. And then, for Still, it's also like, she wants the love of this baby and to love this baby. And of course, she can't have that. And so what does she do to try to, how does she reconcile that? And what does she do to try to get it back? Which she does try to do in the film. So, which is the horrific part of it. Don't worry, I promise you there will be no dead babies on screen. I don't do dead babies on screen. Nothing like horrific in that sense. It's just more kind of psychologically horrifying, I suppose, just to empathize with her and the feeling of loss that she has. And anyway, yeah. And it's all very, very expensive to do in LA. And that's why we need so much money. I know some people say they do it for $500, which I think they're lying. I don't know how that's possible. Or maybe you own everything and you have friends who are willing to work for free and that's how you do it. But in LA, this is everybody's job. You can't shoot anywhere without a permit. You need insurance. You need location fees. Everybody wants to get paid.
In a post-COVID world, adds more, you know.
And now everything is more expensive. Everything. Even for Boo, whatever was, like, the cost that I was, like, estimating, everything was more. Everything. What people wanted to get paid was more. Locations were more. Insurance was more. Permits are more. Everything's more. And, you know, I like to try to do things as legitimately as possible and also pay people for their time and their work. Nobody's getting paid what they should be getting paid on this at all, but at least they're getting paid like a decent wage for the day that makes it worthwhile for them to be there and give us their all and not feel like they're being taken advantage of, because that happens a lot in this industry, a lot. It seems like a lot, but we're donating some. There are fees. Anyway, so even when we get to 18,000, which is our goal, please keep pledging, because it's not enough and it's not even nearly enough. That's just our minimum. And then to help with festivals and marketing and all the other stuff, we're definitely going to need more money.
I was going to mention that, you know, even if you get the basic to just film the movie, but then there's so much after that.
Probably more than what the movie costs, to be honest, like that you end up spending. Because every one of these film festival trips I go on, even if I do it the cheapest flight, or I drive or I stay at a cheap hotel, I'm a minimum $1,000 each time, minimum, at least. Mm. Especially a lot of them are not on the West Coast. They tend to all a lot be on the East Coast. So it just takes, you know, it's a lot of traveling and time. It's time off work. It's, you know, all of that stuff, getting a cat sitter, all of that stuff. So it's just a very expensive thing, but, and I do take a lot of that burden on myself, but anything anybody else can do to help is great. Sure. And I'm always donating to other people's projects too, because I know how it is. I get it.
Yeah. You've actually helped out here for Without Your Head, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, I love, look, if somebody asks me, I will give them something. Depending on who they are and what my financial situation is, that changes the cost, like the amount, sure, maybe. Sure. I shouldn't say this, but if you ask me, you will get something from me.
You're going to get a lot of DMs now.
I know. Suddenly, I have so many. Wow, my phone's blowing up. But on, you know, also for charity stuff, like, oh, my dog is sick, or I have to help. I just have to help. It's something that maybe it's my Jewish upbringing about tzedakah, and I don't know. Also, 18, I just wanted to say for the 18,000, the 18 is pretty much what we need, but it was also really chosen for a reason, because 18 in Judaism is life. It like means life. And so I wanted to give life to my child through this film. So it was a good luck / life affirming kind of a number, and I felt good about it. And I think we're almost at 9,000 right now, and we're 6 days in, so we're doing really well. Hopefully it doesn't drop off, so please don't stop.
Yeah.
Please, because we're not there yet, and right. If we don't reach 13 something, we don't get any of it. We need to use 80% of the 18, or we get nothing. So I do not want that to happen. That would be horrific. So,
I was not familiar with seedandspark.com. Was there any reason why you went with it?
A couple of reasons. One, it's a female-owned company, and I like supporting that. It's a smaller company than Indiegogo and Kickstarter, so I also like it's more of a small business. I don't know how small it is now. It's gotten bigger, but it started that way. They also do a lot of crowdfunding for stories that matter. That's their like kind of thing. So it's about, you know, stories that have meaning in the world, and there's a reason why you're making them other than just like, oh, this is fun. I just want to make this for fun. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that was more in line with my project. Although I will say it's kind of a clunky site, and we've had some issues with it, and some people have donated and didn't go through, and they had to do it again, and it was all very awkward and uncomfortable for me to have to ask them. They're like, I donated. I'm like, you didn't. And they're like, I did. And I'm like, oh, I didn't go through, you know. So so I'm a little annoyed about that, and that's something I have to think about for the future. But if you pledged and you did not get a confirmation email, I'm sorry to say it did not go through, and you're going to have to try again. You won't be charged twice. If you didn't get the email, it didn't go through. And God forbid, if it did go through, I would just give it back to you. It's not a big deal.
Sure,
Just keep it up. Keep it up, because we need it. Yeah.
So, I'm going to play one of the videos here. I probably should have played it earlier, but...
I talk a lot, so.
No. Well, that's good. Believe me, that's better than a guest who I ask a question and they say, yep.
Oh.
Okay, cool, yeah, thanks.
I can imagine.
I was going to name someone, but I won't name anybody. But they're, okay. I've had guests like that. So we're going to play the teaser. I don't think that was playing right for me, so I turn. I don't know if it was playing right for everybody else, but it was skipping on mine. But
it
I'll just put the,
okay.
Okay, maybe that was just on my end. Then I do have bad internet at the moment. I'm not sure why, but so I'm sorry. I turned it off because it was not working for me. But I'll put it up on the website. It'll be easy for everyone to watch.
Yeah, and it's also at the link. You can see it there, and it's on Vimeo and.
All right. It probably was playing totally fine then. Now I feel like an ass for shutting it off.
Oh, no, it's fine. I think you ended it right at the end anyway. It was like right ending. It was good, yes. All and that Michael and Sophia shot that with me and honestly helped me direct it too. They both had input, which was amazing input and really helpful, and they did a great job helping me with that. And we had fun just running around Griffith Park in the forest.
Oh, very nice. I was at Griffith Park with them when I was out there.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I just love being with them. They're just so, like, fun and creative and chill, and I am very excited to work with them. Very, very, very excited.
Yeah. I only have one photo in my wallet, and it's a picture of Rose, one of their dogs.
God, their doggies. I finally met them, and I could not even. They're so cute. So cute. Ugh.
I agree. I don't have a picture of Michael or Sophia in my wallet, but I have Rose.
No, as long as Rose is in there, that's all you really need.
Yeah,
you know?
It might be a little weird, maybe.
With those teeth. Ugh. So cute.
Yeah. Yeah, when I got to their place, they told me Rose might not be the most social dog, but Rose was a big fan of mine. We got along right away, so.
I can't remember which one it was. Maybe Blanche. One of them was licking my leg the whole meeting. They were like, do you want me to move? And I was
you
like,
sure
no.
Was it Michael? No.
Yeah, it was Michael, actually. I'm sorry. I was trying to. I didn't want to tell anybody, but yeah. He's going to love that.
So, what's the run? Do you know yet? Like, roughly what the runtime of Still would be?
It's honestly pretty short. It's probably going to be around 9 minutes, maybe 10 if we stretch it out a bit. It'll be the shortest thing I've done. They progressively have gotten shorter. Jax was 20, Boo was 15. I think I'm learning how short a short should be.
That's an interesting actually topic because I've seen shorts that work at longer, but I think they're harder to program too if they're over a certain amount of time.
Right. Like, so with Jax, people were like, you need to cut 10 minutes. It's too long. Michael said the licking was Blanche. Thank you. Blanche really knows how to lick a leg, I gotta say. I enjoyed it every minute of it. Yes, they are hard to program, and people told me Jax was too long, but it got into like 60 festivals, so maybe it was, maybe it would have gone into 90 if it was not as long. I don't know, but I think if it's good enough, people will program it. But it is long. I've also been, you know, I've been a judge for Film Quest Awards and stuff, which is another great festival, by the way. Film Quest is amazing. They throw amazing parties too. I love Film Quest. And you know, when you're looking through the list of stuff to watch, it's like 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 25 minutes. You're like, oh, why are you making me watch 25 minutes? Like, that's like a long movie. But if it's well done and you're like, you sit through it and it feels like it goes pretty quickly, it's great. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're like, oh, is this a feature? Because it feels like it's a 90 minute feature and it's never going to end. But yeah, generally I would say shorter is better. But also you put all this work into something and you're like, for 10 minutes? Yeah. Like, I've put in already weeks of work into this project, weeks. And we haven't even done anything yet. We haven't even like started yet. And it's going to be like that quick, but it's okay. You know, that's what happened. Look, I mean, Avengers, all that, those took years and years and years and years for what, 2 or 3 hours. Like, so it kind of works out to the same. I'm not comparing my movie to the Avengers.
No, I understand. I was just saying, all those movies now, they're all like run times of 3.5 hours. And yeah.
I mean, I kind of get it with the amount of money and time. Like, right. Like, putting into it, you're like, yeah. I don't want it to just be a 1.5 hour movie. Like, you know? I don't know who said we have an excellent team on Stone.
That was, Aaron Baracus.
Oh, Aaron. Well, Aaron would know.
I'm still not sure why some people have their names up and some don't, but I can see them on the Facebook. Yeah.
Okay, good. At least, yeah. Aaron is also a fantastic writer, editor, director, filmmaker in his own right, and he worked with Sophia and Michael. And actually, I got to do the coolest thing on his movie, Half Cocked, was he asked me if I would play Jax from my movie in his movie, like as if it lived in the same universe. Which was just the coolest thing ever. Unfortunately, the day we shot, I had like 104 degree fever and I was really sick. But we were shooting at my dad's work, which is the same place we shot Boo. And I had to be there or they wouldn't be able to shoot there anyway. So I literally like was sleeping on the floor with a pillow and a blanket and my fever. And then they like would they called me out to do my little scene. And like Sophia did it in one take and Aaron, they did it in one take and they're like, we got it. I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, go lay down. but it was so cool to have Jax kind of live in this other movie. And honestly, if you want Jax in your movie or Boo or any of these people, please, I'm there. I'll come. I'll be that character. I'm happy to do it. It's so fun. And it just kind of feels like it makes us all more connected. And I like the feeling of all of our films being connected in that way. And it's fun. It's just fun.
Yeah, I was happy. Aaron's a really good guy. In addition to being talented. So that's always a good plus.
Well,
but yeah, I was really happy
to
see you.
He saved Boo. I tell people all the time. He gave me equipment I needed at the last minute that I don't even know how I would have like survived that shoot if he hadn't done what he did. So he's just also a great person, really great person. So many great people I've met at these festivals, like people I've only known for like 5 or 6 years, maybe max. And I feel like I've known them my whole life. I feel like they've been my best friend since I was a kid. And people who've gone above and beyond for me in so many ways, with money, with time, with just support, with love, with messages, with whatever, sending me cards, you know, after I posted about the miscarriage, like sending me like, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss and, you know, stuff that people in my life that I feel like should be more attentive to me aren't. But these people really care and it's so awesome. And I love the community that I've, you know, been included in. And honestly, it's mostly the horror community, which is another reason why I love horror now. Because I love the people. The people in it are not at all whatever you would think these people are going to be if you don't know. But I'm like, oh, these are all of the people who got bullied in school like me, people who were felt left out, people who felt different or not the same or whatever. And they know what it's like to be not included. And so they actually tend to be the most inclusive, and the most kind and the most giving, because they know what it feels like to not have that. Or at least that's my perception. And that's a very general perception.
No, I totally agree. When I noticed that right away when I first started going to, before I went to the festivals, I was going to the conventions. And I, you know, there's a lot of people with black crazy shirts and lots of tattoos. And maybe
right,
some people
look
think
scary,
they're certain.
You know?
Right, right. But and then there's like nerdy people, but everyone's very accepting because I think they all have a common love. And like I think you put it very well, as people who know what it's like to be kind of an outcast. So they're accepting of everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up being bullied and all of that stuff, feeling different, nerdy, whatever. And I didn't realize that these were my people. I think I've been so scared. I'm so scared of everything that I never got involved with those people because I'm scared of the movies and I'm scared of the, like all of the stuff. So I never found those people, but I feel like now I've found my people in the least expected place ever for me. Because if you told me even 6 years ago that I would be like really involved in the horror film community, I would have laughed in your face. I would have been like, you're crazy. That is never going to happen, like never in a million years. And here I am doing it because, you know, and I'm just so glad because they're honestly my best friends, like honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice to say. I agree. So, and plus when I was growing up, you know, without social media, like I didn't know anyone else who loved like Basket Case and the Stuff and Motel Hell. Like, you know, these were weird movies that I went and rented on VHS, but like there wasn't a crowd of people that I could even get involved in that liked these movies.
Right. And get together with those people and talk about it or watch it or whatever. And like, yeah. Now you can find those people from all over the world and, you know, get into it, which is super cool. Yeah.
So actually, since your mom's in your movie and you weren't into horror movies when you were growing up, what did she think when you first started to make horror movies?
She's still is not thrilled. And even with this one, she keeps telling me, can you explain to people this is not like your horror movies? This is a different kind of movie. And I was like, but mom, it really is still kind of a horror movie. She's like, but it's different. And it was very important to her that it's different. She doesn't have any, there's no like judgments against it. She's also kind of a scaredy cat like me. She doesn't like to see people getting killed. And
right.
So for her, I get
it's
a
very
lot
different
of,
from my mom. But yeah.
Oh, really? Is she into that stuff?
Yeah, that's really how I started watching horror movies was my mom would take me. So.
See, that's probably the reason I didn't, because my mom also, my parents are not big on roller coasters and like that. So I think I got a lot of my fears from not having done those things most of my life. I'm not blaming them, but
sure,
it's the way you're raised. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It just wasn't something we did. I saw Child's Play when I was really young, and I didn't sleep for like weeks. And then I saw The Shining, and I was like, never again, nothing again, never again, like not doing it. And it took me years to watch another horror movie of any kind. So, and when we did Jax, my mom was on set and it was the first one. And, you know, it's a horror movie. And I did the scene where I'm killing somebody in a bathroom and my parents were on set and there's a picture of them looking at the monitor and they're both like this. I mean, like just holding their faces. My mom's like covering her eyes. And I remember I came out from doing the scene and my mom goes, "What is wrong with you?" And then my dad goes, "We did not raise you like this." And I was like, "It's acting, you guys. Like, relax. I'm not a murderer. Like, I'm just pretending." They're like, "No, no, 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 no. I've seen that face before. I've seen that look before." And they just like, to them, it's just like, "What are you doing?" And they're also, you know, pretty religious, you know, Jews. It's just not in their, it's not in their world. But I have to say, to their credit, they're on set, they're helping, they're cooking, they're lugging, they're promoting, they're doing stuff for my movies and telling people about it and helping me raise money. And like, it's nothing that interests them, nothing. But I interest them and I'm important to them. And so they always are supportive of me. I could be making anything and they would support me. And so they're just amazing. I mean, also, you know, getting pregnant and not being married, you know, for some people in their position, that would have been like a big, like embarrassment almost even, you know, and they were like so supportive and there for me and like just, like not for one second do they make me feel bad or anything, like never. And they just were like, I don't know. I talk so much about how amazing they are, but they really are. Like, I mean, they out of their comfort zones all the time for me and my siblings. And yeah, they're just kind of amazing like that. So she still says to me, can't you just make a comedy or like a nice romantic movie? Or and I was like, Mom, mine aren't even really horror movies. Like if you compare them to horror movies, they're like hardly horror movies. She's like, they're horror movies. They're horror movies. Like they're all, you know.
Don't show her Terrifier 2 or anything. So
no, she well, what she doesn't like is she comes to the festivals and she has to see other horror movies in the right, block. Right. So she'll sometimes she started to wait outside and she's like, "Come get me when it starts," because she can't handle it. Uh-huh. Like it's too much for her. We saw one that was I think it was called the conductor or something, and it was like I can't remember the name of it, and it was just like someone cutting up a body. I mean, like the whole movie was just this body being cut up, and my mom was like beside herself. I was like, go outside, just get out. She looked like she was gonna throw up or pass out or I don't know, but she just could not handle it. So now she's like, do I have to come to the screenings? Can I just, I support you, I'm gonna support you from home, I just don't, I can't see the other movies. I can hardly watch your movies. But, you know, I've gotten better at watching them. So I guess that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that they still support it, even if it's not their genre.
It's no, I mean, they, you know, they love comedy and stuff like that. I do, hopefully one day I want to write their story, their love story. Oh, they met nice. During like wartime in Israel. And they have a beautiful love story and it's like a sweeping wartime romance type of a thing. And one day I'm going to write that story and hopefully make it. And it will be so different than anything else I've ever done, but it's such a cool story and they have such a great love. And I hope one day I get to tell their story.
That's really nice. Yeah. All right. Well, still will be coming. And you can go and help out on seedandspark.com/funds/stillshortfilm. And we have the links everywhere. I think I have it scrolling across the bottom here. And
definitely. Yeah, on Facebook, it's Still a Short Film. You'll find us there. And I'm posting constantly. I'm probably losing friends, but anyway, we're trying, just give me 24 more days of posting like crazy. And then I promise I'll just take a huge break from social media because we'll be in pre-production and I'll be way too busy anyway. And we have a really great team. Everybody is so talented. We have an amazing production designer, line producer, makeup and hair. Our cast, Rashay Thomas, she's playing the mother who confronts me in the park and kind of triggers this nightmare. And she's going to be in it. Her daughter's making a cameo in it. The baby, Mr. Cooper Eakins, is going to be in it. Oh, I can't wait to see him. He looks so cute. And my mom is going to be in it, which is just amazing. I love it.
Yeah,
but I make her audition. She really did a good job.
That could be a good extra, the mom edition on the Blu-ray when it comes out.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You can watch my pitch video that tells yes. my story. You heard some of it, but that has my story on there too. And yeah.
And Catherine Capazzi is doing the score.
Oh,
which I'm very
yes,
excited about.
So talented. I cannot believe I'm getting to work with her finally. She's. I can't wait. I'm very excited. I'm trying to think who else I didn't mention. I don't know. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be really fun. We have a really cool location. It is an expensive location, but it's going to be worth it. And it's this whole compound ranch place that's really awesome, and it's going to be beautiful. And I'm excited. We're shooting Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully, assuming the money comes through, and I'm sure we'll be fine. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. And you're welcome to come visit us, Neil, if you're around.
I would love
around.
To. Yeah.
Come to the set and hang out or something. I don't know.
I would love to if I can make it out there. I'm all on the other
you're
end.
You're so far away. Yeah. I know. I went to BU, so whenever you're walking around Boston, I'm like, oh, I miss it. I love Boston.
Boston is very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been very fun to talk. I'm actually wearing a Boston Underground Film Festival shirt.
Oh, nice. I want to get into that festival so bad. I have yet to get in.
Well, I want I to too. But yeah, yeah. But the.
yeah. One day. yeah. We won't talk about that.
Yeah, I was. I
heard about that.
The short film I did with Michael Sophia on Umbilicus Dosidera was in it. And that was 7 days before it was going to play. It was canceled because of COVID. It was the first year.
That was the worst. Oy vey. I'm so sorry. Yeah. But that's a really great little documentary. I love that.
Thank
I love
you.
That movie.
I'm very
I think
proud
I
of
saw it.
It.
I saw it at Happy
Oh, yeah,
Camp
that's right.
I met you. That's yeah. when I saw it. And that's where Boo premiered. Boo had its premiere at Happy Sands.
That was my premiere, too, so that's very cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. And I loved that festival because it was just, like, local people. I don't even think there were other filmmakers there. It was such a small... But it was so amazing because it was just, like, local people who love the movies and want to see it. And that was, mm-hmm. like, the best... It was the best. It was the best. And I love George, and it was the best. It was
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. I like the festivals that have that community feel. Buffalo has that community feel, South Texas. There's a lot of them. Even ones that are real big are cool to be there, obviously. But sometimes they don't really have that community feel where, like, ones where they're usually on one screen, there's something about them.
Yeah, you know, I went to one last year called Cordillera International Film Festival. It's in Reno, which Reno is it's a rough little town. But the festival was amazing, and they paid for a hotel, and they catered three meals a day for the filmmakers. And they had a large audience of local Reno people who love films. And who came to the films when it was so it wasn't just a filmmaker showing films to other filmmakers,
right,
which is
right.
fine.
Yeah.
But it was nice to have like real people who are not filmmakers be there and see your film and talk about your film with you and just be a fan and not be coming from like a filmmaking perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. Yeah.
Very cool. And I'll mention real quick too, Happenstance. So we met both our the shorts there premiered. And I hadn't talked at that time 2 years to Annabelle. We'd stopped talking, and we didn't know both of us were going to be there, and so we were avoiding each other. And apparently, I didn't know it was the time, but she went to film my movie, and she was going to like blast it on Facebook. Look at this stupid movie Neil made, and then she really liked it. And then we ran into each other, and then we started talking, and we started hanging out ever since. So.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. That's so many great things happened at that particular festival that day. Morbidly Beautiful gave me an award.
Yeah.
It was like the whole Elvira thing with the video. And I got that hamburger.
The hamburger's sweet. I'm very jealous
burger.
Of that. But yeah.
yeah
For people who don't know, we mean
thing.
A statue. It's not like she doesn't still have a cheeseburger.
Not a real hamburger. Although I want a hamburger. I'm hungry.
yeah.
But I didn't eat dinner, so I'm like, that burger looks pretty good right now. But yeah, it was just a good time. Yeah. But if anybody has questions about festivals and you're like, I don't know if this is a legit festival, should I waste my time, my money, whatever, feel free to send me a message. I don't mind if I don't know you. Like, if you ask me, I'm happy to give you what I know. I've been to hundreds of festivals at this point, and I know a lot about a lot of them. yeah.
Well, this has been great. I always love talking to you. It's always fun. And I'm looking forward to your film.
Thank you. You're going to get an indie hero shout out for this amazing interview. I just have to make more tomorrow. Yeah, of course.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on and letting me go on and on.
Yes, of course. You're always welcome. So to play us out, I'm going to play Music of the Month here. So we had two Nick Cage did our theme song, and the B-Movie Monsters will play us out. So, and we'll be back next week.
Bye. Amazing. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks again, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah.